This is the Saxo Market Call, daily insights on what is moving the financial markets.
Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call. It is Wednesday, 29th of December, 2021. Finally, yesterday, seeing a bit of a consolidation in that blistering run higher in equities, a little bit more pronounced consolidation from the sharp new highs in the NASDAQ 100 than in the S&P 500, as I show on slide two in today's slide deck. And you can always find the link to that slide deck in the podcast description. But you know, it wasn't a consolidation to write home about, and we've already bounced back and sort of erased a lot of the damage done, most of it really overnight here. But looking at the different baskets and areas of the market that were weak and which ones were strong, especially on the weak side, interesting, crypto and blockchain noticing quite a sell-off there in the crypto space yesterday. I looked over on a crypto news site, and there is discussion of a very significant options expiry into the 31st of December of some $6 billion, so that's quite large there. But just an interesting signal on that front. And then if you look at the performance on one day, you know, not a lot sticks out there. But I think the month today is kind of interesting. And you see how that travel basket, for example, up 9%. Of course, travel stocks got cratered by the announcement of this Omicron variant of concern in the last days of November. But it just shows I think it's just a good display of how confident the market is getting that we're going to get to the other side of this Omicron quite soon, that you've seen those types of stocks rallying so hard. And then other topics we need to look to as we transition into the new year. We've talked about yesterday, have a listen to that podcast, talking a lot about the equity market and some challenges that lie ahead potentially for profit margins and the comparisons that may be a lot more difficult this time around than they were for last year when we saw that spectacular year for equities. It's just interesting to note on the Forex front, the positioning in the dollar, which is quite heavy. If you look at one measure, that being the leveraged fund bets, and Bloomberg points out in an article on slide three, you can see the graphic for that. So you see how the US dollar is entering the new year with a very significant long by this measure. It doesn't necessarily mean, I would say, on these positioning things, you don't have to take them as one for one in terms of timing or great timing considerations, but it does suggest, and some of the history there shows back into 2019, that once you get to these levels, it really has a hard time doing much more, getting much higher, unless you have a pandemic breakout, where that's where you saw, of course, the big spike briefly in early 2020 in the dollar. So I think we have a 2022 that will see the dollar having a hard time getting much higher. Bears may be frustrated, however, to see it much lower if we get the Fed having to tighten more than expected, more than is currently priced in, and especially if that tightening brings liquidity concerns, brings risk aversion at some point, that will tend to support the dollar, support the yen, maybe even the euro to a degree. But I think it's an interesting perspective and an important perspective on where the potential is in terms of the symmetry of potential one way or the other for the US dollar into the new year. And I don't want to go through all my slides here before we get to bring you into the conversation, but I'm seeing if you look at, if you just briefly look at my Aussie yen charts, and I'll talk about that in a moment, just the tendency there, of course, it bottomed out just after the announcement of the Omicron variant of concern. You see this on slide four. The really big slide there happened on that very day when all markets were sliding, especially in your space, with crude oil, and a lot of correlation there. So if you look at that chart and then you look over on slide six at your crude oil chart, there's a lot of correlation across asset classes. I noted yesterday that rally sort of poked us back into the range that was there prior to the Omicron announcement. So what are you looking at as you look at crude oil and the setup going into the new year?
Well, first of all, we're looking at a market where liquidity is pretty poor. So if a market catches some kind of momentum, then it tends to potentially run a bit faster than maybe the fundamentals on the ground can dictate. So I think that's most certainly been the case in crude oil. As you mentioned, John, we saw that collapse, mini crash back in late November when the Omicron news hit the wires from South Africa. And we're now back above that. We have even retraced 61.8% of the whole sell-off since the October peak. So with that in mind, it looks like we are we're entering 22 with crude oil in good health. Looking at into the year, the biggest, I'll say the biggest headwind we could face at the beginning, the start of the year is the China's response to the Omicron. Because even though we've seen here in places like Denmark and the UK that even though the numbers are exploding, it's not really having much of in terms of impact on demand and lockdowns are not having the negative impact. And China can be a different case because the way they've been handling outbreaks up until now, the way it just blanket closed down whole big areas, and it will have an impact on some like logistic and transportation, I would say, and supply chains over the coming weeks. But crude oil, as we can see in some of the inserts today, we're looking for the weekly EIA report. Yesterday, the API came out basically showing another drop in crude oil stocks last week, and that's adding to the positive sentiment. And you can see US stocks are coming down quite fast right now, and that's happening even at a time where the government is releasing strategic reserves into the market. So despite of that, crude oil stocks are still coming down, and that's indicating quite strong underlying demand.
It's interesting. I'm looking at that. That's quite a few barrels they've released, and I wonder what their thinking is on that long term. I guess the whole reasoning behind it was originally because there was so much shale oil, and the U.S. become far more independent in terms of its production that it seemed less in need of so many barrels in these strategic reserves.
Exactly. They can bring it down further, and they will over the coming weeks after that SPR announcement back in November. I think I just want to add, and we can also see that on one of the other slides, following slides, that the speculative interest from hedge funds, even though we've seen this rally, speculative interest is at the lowest level in WTI and Brent in 13 months. And that's really also just setting up this market in 22. If we kick off with a bullish sentiment in the market, then there is, and the technical outlook looking as it does right now, then there's potential plenty of additional buying to come into the market.
All right, and then just going and rolling back to that Aussie chart, the reason I wanted to put that in there was first we've discussed the potential for some of the crosses, especially dollar yen, to do a quarterly rollover into the new year. I'll have that in the next slide, but Aussie yen pivoting right at a key technical level. I just wanted to point that out. So that massive sell-off from the 86 plus top all the way down to below 79, and now portray 61.8% yesterday, and that's exactly where I found resistance. Let's see if that become something that sticks, this retracement. Arguably it was bearish the entire reversal there, but if that was mostly on a Omicron concern that then gets wiped away, those technicals don't mean a lot because it was a one-off fundamental development that suddenly has been wiped away. Dollar yen underlining once again, as we discussed yesterday, and I just put up the chart once again because I think it's very interesting to see these quarterly patterns we've seen in Q1 to Q2, 3, and 4. You can see it on slide 5, and we've had a rally here into the end of the year. Yes, we have strong risk sentiment, but we have a very range-bound and go-nowhere longer U.S. Treasury yield, which is tends to be something you need to see heading higher to support a dollar yen rally of the magnitude we've seen recently. So curious to see if we see this consolidation just after the new year. And just keep in mind, I mean, the most recent one, it was simply a quick little consolidation. It's not as if it was a major pivot that had any durability. And then across the FX trends, that weak yen sticks out at the moment. Sterling picking up as rate anticipations are pick the rate hike anticipation is picking back up for the Bank of England into the new year. They're not as restrained by COVID, at least in terms of their lockdowns, as other places. And we're seeing the strong Norwegian krone on the stronger crude oil picture, or at least price action that we've seen, as I will discuss. And then elsewhere in energy markets, so we've seen this tremendous reversal, but it's from such lofty levels, I guess, in natural gas, I should say, in Europe. It's from such lofty levels that we have to keep in mind that we're still, I guess, at a level that's very, very painful, price-wise, for the European economy.
It is indeed, and you're right. We peaked at above around 190 euros intraday last week. Since then, we have come down quite significantly, primarily due to expectations or signs that we are seeing increased flows of LNG coming in from, especially from the US. We've seen how these ships have been setting direction for Asia, for South America, and then suddenly you can see on the ship radar they turned around because some higher bidder has come in from Europe, basically by bidding up the price, and the ships are now heading to Europe with more increased loads of LNG. that flow of needs to continue at a very, very strong pace for this prices to come down even further, I would say, or we get a mild January. This is really needed, because looking here at slide 7, the daily gas flows, I put that out of the tweet yesterday. Daily gas flows from Russia right now are down 35% on this time last year. The gas held by Gazprom at controlled storage facilities in Europe is down 64% on last year. So we really haven't seen any relief in terms of flows coming in from Russia. So with this, with LNG being the main reason why we're down, we basically need to see EU prices stay above or competitive with price in Asia. And that's obviously the price drop. And if Asia prices doesn't come down with it, then at one point that arbitrage, so that trade will slow down, and we'll see LNG again heading towards Asia. So for now we are in demand killing territory, and we're gonna see more of that as we head into the first quarter. We definitely have a raging energy crisis still unfolding here in Europe.
And into the heart of that, we discussed yesterday and tweeted out that Germany is set to shut down half of its nuclear plants in coming weeks. So. Interesting timing there, to say the least. Then we have, again, on your positioning, you have these great positioning tables that you put out. And you're pointing out that there's really pretty short positioning, not short as in short, but as low positioning for many markets as we're heading into the new year.
Yeah, considering how we're trading price-wise and how we've been behaving for the past few months, the speculative interest has been fading. But I think we also have to remember that speculators, they are as much technical-driven as they are fundamental-driven. And the technical outlook in across many of these markets, I would say especially the metal space, has not been really giving any signals. I think we'll take a deeper, closer look at gold tomorrow, which is basically just trading around the average price. It's been trading for the whole year, 1800, and we'll take a closer look at that tomorrow. But generally, we got also, as I mentioned, in oil markets, some of these are pretty much close to the lowest speculative length we've seen for a year. And that, again, setting up an interesting start to 22, where investments are being rolled out and money is being put to work. So if we get it, a technical outlook that improves, then there's plenty of space again for funds to accumulate long. So we'll definitely keep a close eye on that as we head into January.
Okay, and there's nothing really to talk about on the macro calendar besides your weekly U.S. crude oil and product inventory report coming out later today. If you look at the calendar elsewhere, I haven't put it in yet, but we need to watch the Italian politics, because this could suddenly get more interesting than it would have been otherwise. The Italian presidential election, if you recall, the president in Italy is in a very different position from elsewhere. He holds a lot of symbolic power, but not really much actual power. But it's an important position nonetheless, and especially because now we have the head of the Five Star Movement, Giuseppe Conte, arguing that it should be a woman as the new Italian president. This has eliminated what was seen as a likely candidate, Mario Draghi, who is currently serving as the prime minister. And if he is shifting over there, regardless, you're going to need to see new elections. So the key being here, whether this ends up triggering early elections, which were otherwise not scheduled until next year. And this is coming up already in the first week of the new year. So just you might want to follow that story in Italian politics. I think Italy remains the one really weak spot among the major economies in Europe in terms of triggering potential new existential strains, etc. And then for the rest of the week, essentially just being tomorrow, especially for this Saxo market call, because that will be our last edition for this year. And we'll see what's happening there when we get into the new year with the jobless claims. And I think that that next round of data for December into the first week of next year will be quite interesting to see where the market is vis-a-vis the Fed. It's the only part of the U.S. yield curve that's moving, and it's been moving quite a bit as we price in more rate hikes sort of front loaded into 2022 and not so much additional hiking priced in further out the curve. So a lot of very interesting yield curve action that we discussed yesterday, and we'll continue to discuss as we transition into the new year. But we'll be back tomorrow with our final edition for 2021.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter @SaxoMarketCall or by email, marketcall@saxobank.com.